There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
You're living life as a gringo, where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that.
My rapping is really bad.
This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. Man, it's Thursday, so that means it's our Thursday Trends episode. And my guest today is family, man. She's a part of my LA TV family. She hosts a show on the network called Shades of Beauty. She's also the author of the new book, Café con Leche. Yoey Apolinaro, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I mean, I'm excited to talk to you for so many reasons, aside from the fact that we are LA TV family, gang, gang. But, you know, I also have been seeing your book pop up a whole bunch, like randomly on my timeline, which is really cool. To kind of like, you know, the synergy and all of that, right? I wasn't too familiar because I know your show was kind of new. And then seeing that, man, you are the person behind this book that I've been seeing a lot of people repost. And it's good to meet you and get to talk to you.
Oh, it's so nice to meet you and get to talk to you too. That's crazy that it's been popping up on your timeline. That's wild how
yeah.
that works. The algorithm.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, listen, I want to dive into the book. I want to dive into the TV show. But first, if it's cool with you, I want to kind of touch on some current events and get your thoughts on them.
All right, let's go.
Perfect. So today, man, we're going to get into a few different things. We're going to talk about Puerto Rico and the Supreme Court ruling, man, that has a lot of people pissed off, to be honest with you. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk a incident in Ohio where there has been a, man, you can't put it any other word, a hate crime against some Latin students who were speaking Spanish. We'll talk about that. And then, man, on a positive note for our Mi Gente segment, his name is just a reoccurring figure in this segment because he keeps doing amazing things. We'll talk the latest thing Bad Bunny has done to knock down the doors for Latinos. And then, of course, later on the show, we have our Ask a Gringo segment. So I'll ask y'all a question based upon one of the stories that we're talking about today. So we'll get into all that, but let's kick things off as we always do, man, kind of diving right into some of the nonsense, and we'll do it in a segment we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Say it louder for the people in the back.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Okay, so I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you are what, half Puerto Rican, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, half Puerto Rican, half Afro-Colombian.
Beautiful. So I mean, let's talk a bit about Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico was in the news this last week when you had the Supreme Court denying an effort that was made to require Social Security benefits to go to the people of Puerto Rico. And this was an 8-1 decision. The lone person who sat out on this one, the lone dissenter, was Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Mm-hmm. And basically, this keeps Puerto Rican residents from receiving the benefits that every other American in this country gets,
yeah,
which is things like supplemental security income for the elderly, blind and disabled individuals. And this is an act that, again, you know, these benefits were made to go to U.S. citizens, which Puerto Ricans are.
Yeah.
And for anybody who has some sort of pushback on this, I know that there's also a lot of talk that, you know, Puerto Rico doesn't contribute when it comes to federal taxes. But the reality is Puerto Rico is exempt from federal income tax, mm-hmm, but they do pay federal taxes for things like Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment taxes. So, man, I know as a Puerto Rican, as a Latino, as a human being, for me, this was really kind of heartbreaking and really frustrating to see. I mean, I'd love to kind of hear your take and your thoughts on it.
I mean, it's definitely heartbreaking. My family is very fresh from the island. I'm first generation. Mm. So mm-hmm, when I talk to my family back home, a lot of the things we're talking about is retiring on the island or returning to the right island or going to be with the family that we have left there. And I feel like, sure, now those plans kind of have to be redirected and thought out again, mm-hmm, because of stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how does that affect people who were born and raised on the island, went back to the right mainland, and then came, mm-hmm, decided to go back? What does that mean for them? Right. What does it mean for my family that was on the island and never left?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It puts things in another perspective. It makes things a little more difficult, more than they already were.
Yeah. Right, right. And to me, it also just continues to point out this like glaring fact that we've all known, but a lot of people try and deny. And it's that the United States will never see us as equals, right?
No.
They will never, they don't want to see us as equals. They don't see any benefit in it. And if things like this, I mean, Hurricane Maria, the lack of support, all of the above, right?
Yeah.
Continues to do so. But you still have people, even on the island, who like have this idea of the great white savior, right? America coming to save them,
yes,
and statehood being the answer and all these things. And it's like, bro, they're showing you their hand. Like, they don't give a damn about you or your well-being. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy to me.
Yeah, they don't give a damn. And I don't know. I'm like, why do we learn, but the U.S. has shown us, like, mm-hmm, through history, you go back, yeah, the proof is in the pudding. They're not coming to save right us, but they will right come by and buy up all the land from the Puerto Ricans.
Yes. Right.
So
right,
they won't save us, but they'll use us for their tourism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the local government, you know, will again do whatever they can to bring more white people to the island, essentially, because that is money in their pocket. They'll sell the souls of the very citizens who they're supposed to be looking after. You know, it's a really, man, just tragic situation.
It really is. And it is tough, because I'm like, I don't think, I wouldn't even trust statehood being the answer based right on the relationship with the U.S. that we've had in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very frustrating place to kind of be. You have on one hand, like, the local government, which you feel like you can't really trust all that much. But then at the same time, the U.S. has shown you that you can't trust them, you know.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a really difficult, you know, time period for Puerto Rico. And I think things like this are proving that at the end of the day, a decision has to be made in one way or the other. You know, we can't keep being in this limbo state where we're getting certain things but not getting others. You know, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I entirely agree. It definitely feels like we've been in a state of limbo for years. I think we got to stand on our own 2 feet. I don't know.
I agree. I think that's the answer, and we definitely can do it. I mean, and let's kind of move to another story here in the States that kind of proves my point, almost how I started about never being seen as equals. Now, there was this these students in Ohio, right? These mm-hmm. Latin students Isabella Palma and Antonella Belsito, and they're students of New Albany, a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, and they were actually attacked by another student last week for speaking Spanish while getting off the school bus.
Okay.
And right. So obviously more of the same of what we know, but also it still is frustrating. And what makes it even worse is when you hear the school district reacting, or lack of. The school district has still not released a statement about the incident, but did suggest to the girl's mother that maybe they can come up with a work from home plan if she's too afraid to go back to school.
But what's the plan for the other girl?
Right, right. Exactly. And that one last stat I want to bring up, and I'd love to hear your full blown reaction, because they bring up this idea that over the past few years, hate crimes against Latinos and people of color have been rising in shocking numbers. And they're saying that in 2019 alone, there were 527 reported hate crimes against Latinos. I mean, we've seen different things, and this is just what's being reported. We all have lived experience that went unreported. Yeah. I mean, man, you hear stories like this one. I mean, what do you feel?
I don't know. I feel like halfway shocked, because we live in a time where it feels, especially me living in LA, it feels so progressive. Mm-hmm. It feels so inclusive. Sure. It feels, I'm in the middle of the industry. So I'm literally watching the industry go from all white spaces to now I'm seeing Black and Latinos on Gap ads and Hollister ads, which like blew my mind. So I'm like, I see the growth, but then again, you read stories like this and I get out of the LA bubble and just go like 200 miles away elsewhere. And I sense the stillness, the lack of growth. Right. But I need to know what happened to the other child, and where's disciplinary action? What happened? Like,
you would think, that would be the first, to me, that should be the first thing. Like, all right, we should not let that child go back to school. You know what I'm saying? Like, why the girl who got attacked has to stay home because she's afraid of being attacked? Why not just take the person out who attacked her? It just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And I just hate when the system's faltered. Like, the system you're supposed to look towards for help, like we just talked about with Puerto Rico.
Right. Yeah.
You have to go through the chain of command. You got to go through the principal. You got to go through the school district. And if nothing happens, it's just like, okay, what are y'all for?
Right, right. It's frustrating because it's like nobody's here to protect us. The people who are supposed to protect us, who are getting the check, you know, and basically with tax money, we're paying for them to have a job. They're not doing their job, right?
Yeah.
And it's frustrating also because you have a lot of white America that is in this denial, right? Like, I get a lot of backlash on my podcast. I was just reading a comment today, even though I know I shouldn't. But like, it was some obvious, like, some like Karen who's obviously triggered by the fact that I'm talking about the Latino experience here in the U.S. And her comment was like, the U.S. is for everybody. Get over yourself. And it's like, bro, look at cases like this one. It's not. Your experience is completely different than that of people of color in this country. Who are you to tell somebody what their lived experience is? You know what I'm saying? And like, it's just wild to me that people still try and like push this narrative of like the U.S. being this the so-called inclusive place. And listen, obviously there is to a degree, but that don't mean that there isn't a long history and generations of hate being passed down. I mean, those kids, like, where do you think they got it from? That girl that felt comfortable enough attacking that student for hearing somebody speak Spanish. Where do you think that came
from? Straight from the roots, straight from the tree. She's the apple.
Exactly. Like. Yo, it's just crazy to me. Like, people want to be blind. They don't want to see it. You know what I'm saying? There's like such fragility out there.
Yes, there really is. And I think that's another thing I'm like really trying to find acceptance in, just for my mental health. Like, there are people that refuse to change no matter what. And you can lay it out in front of them.
Yeah.
Logically, black and white, no gray in the middle. Right. And they will still find a reason to be like, well, maybe she wasn't attacked for speaking Spanish. Maybe it was for, and I'm like.
Right. Right.
I don't know, man. It is frustrating.
You never hear something like this if there's a kid speaking Italian or something like, right? Like all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, cool. You can speak Italian. You know what I'm saying? Like, but Spanish is obviously, because you think of immigrants and all the hatred that goes towards that, people associate it with that. And it's like, don't speak that here type of thing, you know? And it's, It's really, man, it's scary. It's frustrating. And I definitely agree with what you're saying about wanting to protect your own mental health, because it can be exhausting, right?
It's exhausting. I feel like a hamster on a wheel. You're just running and going and fighting. And you're like, is anything changing, or am I still in the same spot?
Right. It's so true. And it's scary to think in 2022, we still hear that. And then you still have people, you know, wanting to deny that. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, what people who are still denying have to realize, like, this isn't a character attack on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the system that created the mindsets that allow things like this to happen, you know, and that make things like this get passed down from generation to generation. And we all have cultural blind spots,
right?
We
definitely.
All have some sort of thing that we could improve upon, that we learn from when we get out of our immediate bubble and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know why that's such a hard concept for like a lot of white people to wrap their brain around in this country.
I don't know. And it's more helpful when they do, because it means more from another white person to tell the child, the mother of that child, hey, you're wrong. Where did this child get this from? It means more when it comes from your own community, when you check your own community. Yeah. So I just feel like if they just like took off this like shield over their eyes for a second, okay, that was wrong. Let me think about it. It meant more. It sucks that it had to be this way, but it meant more when thousands of white people were at Black Lives Matter marches.
Yeah.
In the last year in the pandemic. It meant more for them to see the police provoke peaceful protests and not just read about it and be like, that's not true. You guys were inciting violence. Right. Like, it meant more for you to be there on the front lines and see what was happening.
I mean, because it validates the fact that there is an issue, because when you have people who aren't the ones who are being affected by it still saying this is a problem, then you're like, if any rational person has to stop for a second and be like, oh wait, maybe there is a problem, because somebody who literally has zero like skin in the game is recognizing the issue at hand, right? And that's why white allies are so important. And then also, I mean, even coming full circle to your conversation about mental health, there are just some people that you will never change, right? They've made a choice. They've drawn their line in the sand. This is what they want to choose to believe. And you know, we can't, you know, force them to drink, right? You could take a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. You just have to have some acceptance in that and allow yourself to somehow, some way also not be kind of tainted in like a cynical way towards your outlook towards the rest of the world.
Yeah, you're right. And I just, there's a lot of people that I meet that still don't have like acquaintances or friends of different diverse backgrounds. So when you read these stories online or see them in the news, you can't connect them with the face that you know. And I feel like that's what's been helping a lot of people. There's more mixed children I've seen than ever before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now these white grandpas and grandmas can connect a little brown face with a Tamir Rice, 12 years old, being shot by the police. Like, when you don't have that connection and you aren't in a position to receive and to learn and to just be open from what you know and what you have grown up thinking, you put yourself in a position to just not receive anything and just stay in the same place. And continue to be sheltered.
sadly some people will choose that route, you know, 9 times out of 10, unfortunately. It's a sad fact, but again, you know, you can't allow it to be something that drags you down or waste too much time trying to change something that will never change or doesn't want to be changed.
You're right. And I think that there's also something to be said about, I don't know, I'm like, what is the racial background of that school that child went to?
Sure. I mean, it's Ohio, so who knows?
That, like, I also really believe in being around, like, a diverse population.
Right.
Or at least, like, my own people.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it has to be that way, because I should be able to send my child wherever I want to send my child.
Right. But safety-wise, those things can't help but cross your mind, right? Like, and that's again, the lived experience that people can't understand, you know, like, Where I live right now, like somebody, they have contractors working on the house next to me, and one of the dudes has a Confederate flag on his van, right?
Oh god!
And I see that, And I immediately am tense. I'm immediately uncomfortable with the fact that I have somebody like that in such close proximity to my home, you know, and my girl stays here and things like that. Like, it makes me uncomfortable just seeing that right there, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people miss, you know, when it comes to this conversation. Like, sure, the idea of America is that it's for everybody, but that's just not the reality of everyday life. You know, we have too many instances as people of color that remind us that, you know, we are looked down upon in the society and that it wasn't built for us to prosper, you know. And again, that's a little experience that I'm pointing out, but I can guarantee you no other white person would have that feeling, right? Like, of uneasiness. Mm-hmm. They might be like, oh man, that's like crazy that this dude is still flying it in 2022. But they wouldn't have a feeling of fear come over them by seeing this person, you know, around their house every day, right? And that's kind of the point I'm trying to drive home to people.
Yeah, they wouldn't even think twice.
Right.
It's not even a thought for them. And the fact that you immediately get like nervous, you immediately get like, okay, all right, noted. That doesn't even have to be noted for them. It's just kind of like you live without that.
Right.
You have the privilege to live without that.
Right, exactly. And that's what I think a lot of white people who are fighting so hard against this have to realize. Like, there is this lived experience that you can't possibly have, and you just have to understand that, you know? And as hard as it is, you just have to take our word for it to a degree, because there are too many factual things to back up these statements as well.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't make sense for all these people of color to be telling the same story and live in different places.
Right.
That doesn't, y'all can't be making it up.
You know what I'm saying? So, right.
It's not only Ohio, it's other parts of America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, none of these people are connected, and the same situations are sprouting up. So that's proof enough that there's a real issue here that hasn't gone away. Cause one of the biggest things is people act like we're still in slavery. Slavery was so long ago. Mm-hmm. This and that. Mm-hmm. Oh, America's the land of the free. You can do whatever you want here. You can to a certain extent. It's nice on paper.
Right.
But when you still have these really old, like, ideals just floating around and being passed down through generations, it doesn't go away.
Right.
If anything, it becomes stronger because it's going against everything else happening around them.
Right, right. They're like taking the stance of like a defensive animal almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it makes it even worse. All right, so I know we've been talking about a lot of heavy stuff. So let's lighten it up a little bit with our Mi Gente segment, where we honor somebody from our community who is doing incredible work. So we'll get into that. But first, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important. Like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama. And when reflecting on what matters most, I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura podcast network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick
and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk Bad Bunny, who just seems to be, man, just doing anything he damn well pleases in this world and is just knocking down door after door after door. Now, this week we saw him announced as being the star in El Vuelto, which is the first Marvel film that will ever be led by a Latino. And it's a spinoff of Spider-Man, and it's just a huge moment from that line right there. Like, again, I'm going to reread that. The first Latino-led Marvel film, and Bad Bunny is that dude.
That's
doing
crazy.
That. He's the dude starring. We talked about kind of, you know, what we're seeing and changing in Hollywood and stuff like that. And I mean, as much as these other stories we talk about kind of bring us back down to reality, they're also... I think is this joy when you hear something like this, though, right?
Yeah, I love to hear that. I love to hear that he's such a big star, and most of his songs don't have English. Like him and Rosalia, like it's refreshing to know that I live in a time where their songs could be number one on the charts, and half of the people listening don't even understand what they're saying. That's beautiful.
That's so powerful. That's so powerful because you had for so long. The Latin artist had to make an English-speaking album in order to cross over, right? Mark Anthony, Selena, you know? So, like, Enrique Iglesias had to become an English artist, you know? So, like, that is huge. I feel like that is... people talk about it, but still is not talked about as much as it should be, like, his dedication to that.
Yeah, right. It's beautiful. It's a really beautiful thing to see. And I'm excited because I know there's more coming. And there's maybe the next time there's a big film, it's Latino led, and there's different kinds of Latinos because we're not a monolith. Right. We don't all come from the same culture. There's hundreds of countries. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
absolutely,
I'm just excited to see that exposure grow even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. I think, and again, I think a lot of people don't realize this. And I had Alvaro Diaz on the show, and he kind of broke it down like in such a way where he was talking about whenever he saw somebody from Puerto Rico winning. It felt like he was winning. Like he interpreted it as his own win. He felt that same type of joy as if it was happening for him.
Yes.
And like how that's how people in their community felt. And that's why they're so like fanatical about this stuff, because it genuinely does feel that way. When one of us win, it feels like we're all winning.
Yeah, it feels because you see yourself. You see yourself in the media, on TV. You see, it looks like a mirror. You're like, oh, that person came from my background and they're doing these big things. And I can do that too. It's possible.
Yeah. Right.
And I feel like a lot of white people don't understand that because they always see themselves. So they don't know what it feels like to have that void of not seeing yourself in this world that you're living in. It's made for you.
Right.
But when it's not made for you, and that little unicorn comes out of nowhere in a Mark Anthony and a J-Lo or Bad Bunny, you're like, wow, like it can really happen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Absolutely. I love like because I could just feel you basking in the moment. I just think it's such a beautiful a beautiful thing. I mean, but so let's now talk about something that actually is yours, a celebration that is yours. Ooh. Let's talk about this book, Café con Leche, and on it you have the subtitle, I Didn't Know I Was Black. I mean, let's talk about this book. What does all of that mean? Let's unpack it a little bit. Anybody who hasn't seen it kind of floating around.
Yeah. So basically the subtitle gives it all away. I grew up most of my childhood until I was like 17, completely unaware that I was Black. I didn't know. I knew my father was from Colombia. I knew my stepfather was Cuban. But when you ask them, what are you? They proudly say I'm Cuban, I'm Colombian.
Right.
Shoot, up until maybe like 6-5 years ago, my dad would kind of get offended when people asked him if he was Black. Because he has a strong accent. And, you know, people are curious and people want to know.
Yeah.
So I've been around to multiple situations where people just be like, where are you from? Are you black? And you'd be like, no, I'm Colombian. So I was just, again, like how we talked about how things get passed down. I was learning from that and taking that into the world. So when people would ask me or people would inquire about my family, I would say I'm Puerto Rican and Colombian. And I grew up in, like, I'd like to say three different worlds, because I grew up in dance studios in the suburbs where it was predominantly white or white American or like white Latino. And like second, third generation white Latino. So they're very Americanized, very settled.
Yeah.
And then in my school, it was entirely black, because I went to schools in black neighborhoods. And at home, it was fresh. We like to say fresh off the boat Latino. Like we just got here. Yeah. What's up? What are we doing?
Right.
And I noticed in my dance studio world, the white world, they had so many questions about me, my sister. Mm-hmm. Why am I this color? Why is my sister this color? Is your dad black? And I'd be like, no. And then he would pick me up from dance and they would be like, what? This man is obviously, he's really dark chocolate. So they would be confused. Yeah. And I was there confusing them. So the book just walks through all of those situations.
Yeah.
And it takes me back to how I thought, how I felt when people inquired about that. And they kind of looked at me or like even laughed after I replied. I'm like, what are y'all laughing at? What's funny?
Yeah.
And it even goes into what we have to work on in the Latino community amongst each other. Because I really heavily feel that we go unchecked. We really go unchecked because a lot of the things that are in our culture are so embedded. We're just finding out that it's bad. We're just finding out that not all negros like the nickname negro. Like, as much as we like to defend, well, everyone has a nickname and it could be blanco, it could be flaca, it could be gordo. Like, it's not really cool to just give someone a nickname without their consent to just do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if you don't know that person like that. So, or say things like, when a lot of this happened to my family, because my mom's Spaniard descent, Puerto Rican. Like, we know when our family, we can trace when our family came to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So we're very fair skinned, dark black hair and like narrow noses, very Spaniard. And then both of my siblings have black fathers, very chocolate. So it was nothing. It was not a second thought on their mind for my family to say, well, okay, we have to straighten this hair because it's too much, or don't put that baby in the sun because it's going to get too dark. And I don't know. I didn't think twice about it growing up because I'm in my bubble, you know?
It's normalized.
It's normalized. And it wasn't until I got older and started looking around, started reading more, getting more knowledge, and just taking a second to think back. I'm like, that wasn't cool. It wasn't cool that this certain family member said, "Ay, you look just like your daddy, pero no quemada. Like, you're not you're not burnt." And I remember feeling weird then. I'm like, he's burnt? How do you mean he's burnt? But she doesn't mean he's really dark. That stuff's not cool. And I feel like if we, like the younger generation, don't go back and be like, all right, let's talk about this. Like, what's going on? What happened? Where we get this from? Why are we doing this? We're going to continue it.
Yeah.
So I just go through all of my life and all the things that like made me feel uneasy as a child and as an adult. And honestly, the book was just a whole therapy session for me.
Right, I'm sure.
It was just a whole like looking in the mirror moment on paper.
Yeah. What made you kind of get inspired to write it though? Like, was there something where you were just like, all right, I got to just get all of this out? Did something happen, or it was kind of over time?
Over time, I started in the pandemic because we had so much time. I'm a professional dancer. So when the pandemic started, my industry just stopped. And I had all this time, but I still wanted to create. My wife has basically her own production company. She has her own cameras, lights. And we create our own content. So I was like, I want to really use this time. I'm not busy to just create mad content. I want to make a short film. So I started writing out a short film. about a funny memory my mom had when she was little. Yeah. And I wrote like 2 pages of that script. And I was like, when am I going to do this? I need like 5 children. I need so many things in the world is at a standstill. So how am I going to get this done?
Yeah.
So when I was having that epiphany, how am I going to get this done in the middle of a pandemic? I like to call it the international civil rights movement happened because, and I say international because everyone was marching. We were marching here. They were marching in New Zealand. They were marching in Europe.
Yeah.
It touched the globe. So
then
the international civil rights movement happened and I saw the comments, the people, the bickering, the back and forth, the everyone just taking off their robes and revealing their racism.
And
for like lack of words, and just one word, I was triggered. And I felt like all these memories started flowing, especially from the Latino community, because they had the most to say.
Right.
And maybe it's because that's my community. So that's what was being funneled to me through my Facebook and my Instagram. And I was really bothered about where some of us were in our journey. It's so bothered because I'm like, a few years ago, even now, from this Ohio story, you told me they don't want us here either. So why are you just nuzzling up to your white savior like this when they don't want you either?
Right.
So I feel like that's what inspired me to start writing. I started journaling about how all of this was making me feel. I included some of the journal entries in my book.
Yeah.
And it just kind of flowed from there. And the words just kind of spilled out of me. I couldn't even control it.
That's beautiful. It's funny because I share a similar sentiment. I feel like that whole time period for me was like a great awakening, you know, awakening to my own privilege, awakening to my own experiences from family things that were normalized that aren't, you know, normal. And I think it was a time period where I began to truly like find my voice and my purpose, you know. So it's funny that, man, I think there's a beauty in it. I mean, obviously it was sparked by the tragedy of a Black man being murdered in cold blood. But at the same time, I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're seeing so many other people that are inspired now to use their voice and to advocate, you know, for their community and to try and improve things in any way they can in their own circle, you know, which I think is such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, I feel like his death sparked an awakening for so many people. Yeah. Almost like it was really for a purpose. Like it gives me chills because I know God sends us here with plans.
Yeah.
And in the midst of his death, it's tragic. It's tragic for his family. Like, why is it happening? What is the purpose? And then you just see this big snowball effect. And that was the purpose. His legacy is living on through us, through his kids, through all the people caring and sharing these stories and just buckling down and advocating and protesting and just taking a stand against things that have been wrong for a long time because of this one man. And then it started making us look back and be like, oh, this is not just one man. He's on a list of a lot of people that we cared about when it happened, but not it didn't get this much light. So now let's go back and let's talk about Trayvon Martin again. Let's talk about Sandra Bland. What's up? What happened there? So it's just a big snowball effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the most kind of beautiful, beautiful sort of way, I think, you know, it's funny. I think I got chills as well, just kind of talking about that and thinking about that. And like, just, man, there's definitely something greater at work, you know, from that, just kind of pulling the strings from and man, just awakening us at the right times when needed, you know. And again, you don't ever want a loss of life. But at the same time, you kind of understand there's probably a plan greater, you know, and
oh,
he became a tool for that plan, which is a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
And last thing I want to touch on, which is also, you know, an incredible piece of work that you're doing, is the show on LATV. We have Shades of Beauty, which, man, challenges society's beauty standards. Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that. What does that mean for you, and why the interest in being a part of a show like this one?
I just, being a part of Shades of Beauty just overwhelms me, because I really wish I could have been a part of something like that or seen it when I was younger. Yeah, sure. I wish I could have seen it when I was younger and they were on season 20 instead of season one and two. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's just cool because I'm doing the thing I would have loved to see. Mm. And
yeah,
I feel like at first when they brought the idea to me, I was like, Shades of Beauty. I don't know if y'all know this, but I don't even wear makeup like that. I don't get my nails done. I don't I don't do much with my hair. I just try to moisturize my hair and there's nothing going on here. So I didn't really understand that first. And they're like, no, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're doing. I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
I can contribute. And I actually have something to share. And I can see the way the world around me has shaped my ideas of beauty or the ideas of beauty of like my family and my friends. And I see the things that we feel like we have to do or the things that we're striving for. And I noticed the wave of, all right, everyone's kind of chilling. I feel like no one really wanted this body type to, okay, Kim Kardashian's the blueprint. Okay. Right. Like I see the wave, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just cool that something that I really didn't think I could have any part of at first. I was like, what? Is like actually a really heartwarming thing for me because I feel like it's necessary for everyone, not even like our up and coming generation watching, but the people that are our age that are kind of like going back and trying to reconstruct everything we've learned and be like, okay, we're taking this out, we're adding this in. Oh, this is good. We can leave that there.
Right.
Necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you brought up like your initial idea of is like, I'm not that, you know, thing of like the makeup and all, right? Because it's also what are you taught when you look at the Latin media space, right? It's like,
oh my gosh.
You know, people who are these overly done up European looking women and like well manicured men and all this stuff, right? Like, so it makes you think like that's all that is supposed to be propped up there, right?
Oh my gosh. So yes. Or like
that's our
the
training.
Long straight hair. Like,
yes.
We could not cut our hair when we were younger. My dad cried when we cut our like a side bang, which is like right here. And it's only this section of your hair. It's not like you still have the rest of your hair. You just have a little bang, a little embellishment. He boo hooed because women are supposed to have long hair. And I'm like, where your hair at? What kind of hair are you supposed to have?
It's all that training that we have, right? That generationally conditions us to think of a certain way. I love these conversations that we've been having. I love all the projects that you're a part of. You know, where can people follow you? They want to check out what you got going on, give away the social links, give them the details on the book, all that stuff.
So you can follow me on Instagram at yoi.apolinario, where you can buy the book. It's available on Amazon, but you can also purchase it on directly from my website at yoiapolinario.com/shop. And you can put this in the show notes.
Oh yeah,
okay,
we got you.
I got 27 letters in my name, so these four people out here, I'm like, Apolinario.
Nah, We'll put it in the show notes. We'll make sure we got it in the YouTube description. Make it real easy for Yana to click a link and get to where you need to be.
Thank you.
Of course. Yoi, it's been great getting to meet you and have you on the show. And definitely, you know, when I'm out in LA, hopefully we can link up on something, do some more content. I'd love to have you back on at some point.
Hit me up when you're out here.
Got you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Man, big shout out once again to my guest this week, Yoi Apolinario, for hopping on. Love that conversation. Loved her input and her energy. Her book, Café con Leche, is available everywhere right now. And check out the show notes of this episode. I'll be dropping a link for it in there so you can go check it out directly and purchase it from her. Show some love, some support. Now, with that said, let's get y'all's take on one of these stories in our Ask a Gringo segment. But first, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite Michael Tura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask a Gringo.
I have a question.
All right, so for this week's Ask a Gringo segment, and we do this for each and every episode at DJ Drombos on Instagram if you want to be a part of these conversations. I ask y'all a different question, and this week it's related to the Bad Bunny story, him becoming a superhero in the Marvel Universe. And I just want to lighten things up a bit, man. I know there's a lot of heavy things to talk about in this world, but we're also able to have some fun, man, because there's a lot of beauty in this world as well. So in that spirit, man, I ask y'all, what is a superhero power you'd like to have or a superhero you'd want to be? And I'm going to read a couple different answers that we've got on here. First things first. At A. Bjork says, laundry day, man. Every time I put my hand in the pocket of a pair of pants, shazam, $20. That's a very practical superpower that I think I could get behind. I would love for that to happen. That is one of the greatest joys in life. I don't care what point in life you're at. I mean, I can't speak to being extremely rich, but even if you don't necessarily need it, when you find a couple bucks in your pocket jacket or something like that that you didn't know was there, it is the greatest thing in the world, especially for me because I never carry cash on me. So anytime I get some and I don't have to go to the ATM is always positive for me. Let's see. At Roja Legos says teleportation because fuck traffic and fuck gas. That is a great point. I'm loving these practical powers that we're talking about right now because, fuck traffic. I mean, it's rare that I have to sit in traffic these days. I'm so fortunate, but the times that I do, I'm reminded of just how, man, terrible it is, but also how much of your life and your mental health diminish because you're sitting in traffic. So I definitely fuck with that answer. Teleportation would be dope. No more plane tickets either, right? Like these expensive ass plane tickets, no more sitting on a plane, doing all that stuff. I would love to be able to teleport to like Puerto Rico for a couple hours and like go grab breakfast somewhere or lunch and come back to my job. That would be dope. Definitely. Let's see, last one. At Bren J Life Coaching says speed, like the Flash, so I could read faster. He can read fast and comprehend material. And that's actually interesting. A lot of people would say speed, but they would probably think of like being, you know, so fast that you can run a room and nobody would notice you're there, all that and above. But the idea of being able to read faster, I think, would be an underrated addition to this idea of him being the fastest man alive, right? You don't think about that, but it's true. I would love to be able to ingest a ton of books at one time. I have a problem with hoarding books, so this superpower would definitely be very beneficial for me, and I feel like I would be far more of an evolved human being if I had that superpower. Now, thank y'all so much for participating in this week's Ask a Gringo segment. I think for me, I would love the ability to like freeze time. You know what I mean? Like pause time right here, because I think that's the one thing that is really frustrating. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be sitting here like
yo, where did the day go? I've gotten like one thing off of my to-do list done. And then I'm like mad at myself and I'm trying to think like, what did I end up doing? And it's like, I didn't really do much. I like, you know, took a half hour to eat some lunch. I walked the dog, you know, a couple times. And now the day is like gone. So it always feels like there's never enough time in the day. So I would love to be able to like hit pause in real time on life and be able to just kind of like take in more moments, be able to give myself some extra time to finish things and then have more time, obviously, as a result to spend doing the things that I love and hang out more with the people that I love. So I think that would be my superpower, the ability to stop time. Also, when you're like about to react, if you're like in the middle of an argument, you could pause it and you could like give yourself the opportunity to calm down and come up with like a great comeback. We all do that in the shower. We're like 4 years later or while we're driving and we remember an argument we were having with somebody and we think of like the perfect comeback. Like this would be that, but in real time, which I think would be an amazing superpower, at least just for your own ego, I guess. Now, with that said, thank y'all so much for participating in the Ask a Gringo segment. Again, we do this each and every episode at DJ Dramos on Instagram if you want to be a part of these conversations. And man, with that said, let's wrap everything up that we've talked about today in a neat little bow in a segment we call Conclusion Stew.
Time for Conclusion Stew.
All right, so I know we talked about most of this stuff at great length, so I'm just going to kind of quickly do a little summary. I mean, when you talk about Puerto Rico and this Supreme Court ruling that they're not eligible for federal funds, I just think at the crux of it, at the center of it, it's just more proof that they don't see us as equals and never will see us as equals. And I think that the time has come for change to happen. Personally, I would love for independence to happen. But I think this in-between stage that we're in right now isn't working for anybody. It's kind of like that, you know, relationship stage where you're kind of like still talking and it's like they're your boo, but they're not your boo. You know, stereotypically, the girl always asks like, so what are we? You know, and it's just that same kind of thing. And it's like, listen, if they wanted to wife us up, they had a hell of a long time to do so. So now it's time to move on and be, you know, doing our own thing. And I think we're more than capable of doing so. Now, when you talk about this racism that we see with these kids in Ohio for speaking Spanish, being attacked, it's just sad to see, but it's also further proof of like lived experience, right? I mentioned kind of some negative like comments I've gotten on podcasts or social media or whatever it is. And it's people who refuse to see the lived experience. And I think that's what a lot of these naysayers are not able to kind of put their head around. You know, it's the experience that these people go through, that we go through every single day, that reminds us that we are in fact different, you know. And I'm not even going to pretend and sit here that I've had it the same way as somebody who is, you know, not potentially white passing like I am at times, you know, for certain people, you know, but I've still had my own experiences. And if I've had my own experiences, then anybody who is, you know, darker skin or more obviously Latino is always going to have, you know, even more stories to tell. And you can't tell people about their lived experience. You know, I mentioned that contractor with the Confederate flag on their truck that my neighbor is using. Like, I genuinely had a feeling come over me, like a feeling of fear for my own safety. And I'm pretty sure that any white person, even the most woke one, would have recognized it as like, wow, that's really shitty and terrible. This dude in 2022 has that on his car, but it wouldn't have evoked that feeling of fear. And that's what I'm talking about. You can't tell me about my lived experience. You can't tell me that, you know, America is for all of us and I need to stop gaslighting or complaining, when these are situations that I find myself in as a result of the actions of the people in this country and the history of this country. And then, man, ending on our guy, Bad Bunny. What more can you say, dude? Like, such an inspiration. I love Yoey's, you know, kind of breakdown of that, of when you see somebody like that from an area similar to yours that might look like you, doing such incredible things, doing what they want. Man, it is so fucking inspiring. There's a really dope documentary. I don't know the YouTube channel. I'll try to get a link in the show notes on Bad Bunny and his whole story. But he's literally just a dude from a very small town in Puerto Rico, you know, really humble beginnings. And to see all that he's turned it into, I mean, man, a Marvel character and not like a sidekick, like literally the fucking lead. And it's a Latin character. Oh, my goodness. It's just so many amazing things. This is going to knock down the door for so many other opportunities and the trickle down effect into hopefully society, you know, trying to mend its old ways and starting to finally see us as equals, or at the very least us have more of a say when it comes to this power dynamic. But man, just incredible and absolutely beautiful to see. And it just continues to give you hope, you know, in a world that oftentimes is quick to take that away. So, man, such an inspiration. Shout out to Bad Bunny for literally just doing what he wants, you know, just like his album title, just doing whatever he feels like. It's just beautiful and so inspiring to see. And with that said, man, thanks again to my guest, Yoey Apolinaro. I feel like I keep saying it, but check out that book, Café con Leche. When one of your own does something great, you have to go out there and support. So again, I'm going to put the link in the show notes. Show her some support on the release of this book. And man, that's it. I'll catch y'all on Tuesday with a brand new episode. If you haven't yet, you've been listening to the podcast. I mean, I've seen the numbers. We get thousands and thousands of downloads every single episode. It really would help me out if you are fucking with the show to leave me a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, to leave a little comment on the show, give it the 5 stars. Like, all that stuff genuinely matters. And man, just does help me out in the interim with everything when we're pitching the show onto, you know, getting spotlighted and things like that. That does help. And it takes 2 seconds to do, and I genuinely would be so appreciative if you could do that for me. So, man, if you could help me out, that'd be great. It's funny that the people who enjoy your stuff tend to be quieter than the ones who hate on it for no reason. And that's just a sad fact of life. In general, when we see negative comments, they always ring louder than the positive ones. So, man, just trying to offset some of the nonsense. I appreciate y'all again, and I'll see y'all on Tuesday with a brand new episode. Have an amazing weekend, and stay safe.
Peace.
Life as a Gringo is a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.